Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Coming up this hour on the show, Team USA is closing in a couple of days. We'll take part of the FIBA World Cup. Should we be worried? Also, Colorado head coach Mel Tucker's going to join us. He was Alabama's defensive coordinator. He was very highly thought of around college football, has spent a number of years as an assistant coach. Many thought that he would have choices of very good programs to run when he finally did decide to become a head coach and decided on one of the worst teams of the Pac-12. Some have called the Colorado program one of the toughest jobs in the Power Five. So why did Mel pick Boulder? We'll talk to him coming up about it in approximately 35 minutes from now. Yesterday, we discussed Baker Mayfield taking a shot at Daniel Jones. Basically said he couldn't believe that the Giants selected Daniel Jones at number 6, considering Daniel Jones had a losing record at Duke. And I think that's an okay knock, that if you're going to draft a quarterback that high, at the very least you would like to see said quarterback elevate his program and the guys around him to heights that had not been seen. You know, that was one of the things about Matt Ryan. When Matt Ryan was at Boston College, Boston College went to ACC championship games. Matt Ryan elevated that program, and guess what? They haven't been back since. That was one of my concerns about Josh Allen. Josh Allen had moments at Wyoming where you could really see this cannon arm and this really great ability, but he did not elevate that program to the next level when he played against better competition, against the Power Five teams. He had his worst days. And so looking at Daniel Jones, you could say, okay, it's okay that he went to Duke. It's all right that he didn't come out of USC or Oklahoma or Texas or Florida, Alabama, LSU. That's okay. But I'd like to at least see him take Duke to where they hadn't been before. I'd like at least to see that Duke had winning seasons in big bowl games, and he didn't do that. And I honestly think that's a fair criticism by Baker Mayfield. The problem is he's obviously the wrong messenger. Why should he bother worrying about where other guys are drafted in another conference? But also, as I pointed out yesterday, it's just hypocritical. Baker Mayfield has always rebelled against the outside criticisms, the guys that didn't know him, didn't know what was inside of him. Right? That's been his whole brand. His whole message has been, chip on my shoulder, screw you, because you didn't know what was inside of me. Inside of me is a gamer. Inside of me is a winner. And I'll show you up if you don't believe in me. He's always revolted against that. That the conventional wisdom and the analysts didn't know what was inside of him. Yeah, he wasn't big and tall and strong. He wasn't highly recruited. He was a walk-on. People didn't know what was inside of me. And here he is doing the same exact thing to Daniel Jones. Here he is not knowing anything about Daniel Jones inside of Daniel Jones and just making a blanket statement. I couldn't believe they took him. I mean, come on. Yesterday, Baker Mayfield then walked it back. Oh, my comments were taken out of context. No, they weren't. No, because you could totally see Baker Mayfield saying this. Now, is it possible he didn't think that was going to make the story? Is it possible Baker gets really comfortable over a full day with a GQ writer and just kind of says something flippantly that maybe we would all say? I mean, plenty of us. I still think the Giants reached for Daniel Jones at 6. I don't care that Mraz thinks he's going to the Hall of Fame after 2 preseason games. But Baker also, it's just a grow-up moment. You are the starting quarterback of an NFL team that has Super Bowl aspirations. Super Bowl aspirations. Quit talking about everybody but your team. Baker has called out Sam Ellinger, the quarterback of Texas. Texas, not the Texans. Texas. He has called out Giants fans for not, quote-unquote, showing up for Odell Beckham. Now he's called out the Giants for drafting Daniel Jones. I mean, just worry about yourself. And therein lies a problem with the Browns as a whole. Baker and Odell are the two best players in this team, and they're leading the charge for worrying about everybody but themselves. Odell yesterday, same day, quoted in an SI article saying that the Giants traded him to the Browns out of spite, that they had better offers elsewhere, but they traded him to the Browns because, quote, they wanted to trade me here because they traded me here to die, basically shrivel up and die. They thought it was such a bad, miserable, chaotic, dysfunctional situation. They're going to trade me there to die, shrivel up and die. You know, again, Odell not long ago said, I'm not talking about the Giants anymore. And here he is talking about the Giants. It's funny because elsewhere in that article, he holds back on criticizing anybody with the Giants, which is good. And then he has to throw that in. These are signs of a team not ready to handle their own business. Go talk to somebody in the Patriots locker room. Talk to somebody in the Rams locker room. Talk to somebody in the Steelers locker room. Talk to somebody in a locker room that has actually won something. You know what they don't do? Worry about everybody else. That's what winners don't do. Because they've been there, and so they know if we need to get back, we have to handle what we do. What we do. The immature teams that haven't done anything always worry about what other teams are doing. They worry about what other players are doing. And that really is the sign of maturity in sports, winners in sports, champions in sports. It's certainly not beneath the Warriors to be looking at what the Rockets are doing. Certainly not beneath Michael Jordan to have looked at what the Knicks were doing or the Pistons were doing. Certainly not beneath Joe Montana to look at what the Giants were doing. But those guys on those teams don't spend the offseason talking about other teams. They just don't. Because they know it's about them. This is just the surest sign this season for the Browns is not going to end well. It's just the surest sign. And I hate to say it because we haven't even hit week one yet. And there are really great Browns fans in a really great American sports city that really, really, really deserve a winner. They deserve a winner. Browns fans deserve a winner, and they're not going to get it this year. Watch. Now, it might start next year, the year after that. I mean, I think the Browns are ascending, and I think the Browns' long-term trajectory is very good. But I do not believe in this season being anything to write home about. This feels like a 7-9, 8-8, kind of constant turmoil, never quite getting ahead of things, never quite getting the stability, the sturdiness, the consistency that it takes to win at this level. I mean, I hate to say, but the Browns have done nothing. They've done absolutely nothing. And while I applaud Baker Mayfield for creating a swagger and a juice around that franchise, they ain't done nothing. I mean, come on. You haven't been 500 yet. Let's stop worrying about everybody else. How do they draft him? They sent me here for this reason. Blah, 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 this guy. Blah, 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 that guy. No respect here. That GM. This coach. Man, you ain't done nothing. Worry about your own kitchen. Your own Freddie Kitchens. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, Schwartz reminds me of Uncle Frank from the Home Alone series. These real, Crystal? Yes. Put them in your purse. Hashtag my baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it. I thought I saw it all from Schwartz. I thought I saw him groveling for free stuff enough. I never thought I'd see him do more than he's already done. And here he is telling the XFL on Twitter, my sons would make great models for your merchandise catalog. Number one, do you think either of his two sons have ever modeled anything?
Like officially?
Yes.
I mean, I know they take a lot of pictures, but they haven't officially modeled anything.
No. Okay, so he is suddenly thrusting his kids at the mercy of the XFL's photographers, PR people, if they do have a catalog, just saying like, oh, my kids will do it. Meantime, they've never done it. Number two, what happens if his kids don't want to do it? Do you think his kids are like, Daddy, I really want to be the XFL merchandise catalog? There's no way.
He probably assumes they will, and if it gets to that point, he'll probably just tell them, hey, kids, you got a great opportunity here.
Number three.
I mean, it's a nice opportunity he's trying to offer his children.
Number three. When was the last league merchandise catalog? I mean, this isn't 1982 in the JCPenney Christmas Spectacular.
NFL Shop sends one out every
Okay, year. NFL Shop does. You're right. I've gotten that around Christmas time. Do we think the XFL is going to send out a penny saver catalog around Christmas to push their Memphis Maniacs gear?
Of course not.
Come on.
But Schwartz doesn't think Come that on. Either. You know what this is. This is Schwartz acting like he thinks there's going to be a big merchandise release to like feed the hand of the XFL, hoping that, well, they will have some merch and they'll just send it to me for nothing.
Well, why doesn't
It's a game he's playing.
Why doesn't he just say, We're going to be big fans of the New York team. We'd love a hat. Why don't you just say that instead of dolling this up as my kids would make great models in your merch catalog? It's shameless.
It's a deeper rooted issue
shameless.
There.
It is so shameless.
Again, no, not only that, he had to let the league know he was going to have a watch party, D.A. You bring this all full circle. It's
party.
All a game for him.
It's a watch party as they release team names.
I'm sure they're going to do this online or something, and I guarantee what this is. A, it's an excuse for Schwartz to have a fat lunch because he loves a guy. Look, I'm sure he loves the pizza, the fast food, something. It's an excuse. Hey, we have something to do while we eat lunch, and it's an excuse not to just have peanut butter and jelly.
So fat guy lunch.
Fat guy lunch. We're going to have the fat guy lunch. I'm going to hang out with the kids and do this. It's cool. It's father-son bonding, the whole thing. I'm going to let the league know I'm doing this. Then I'm also going to let the league know I have two young kids who would love merchandise so much so that if they have to work to get the merchandise, we're allowed to do that. All in all, it's a long play here to hopefully have the XFL have me on their radar to hire me for some sort of broadcasting job.
I don't mind that. If Schwartz wants to work for the XFL, more power to him. Hell, we were openly angling to do AAF primetime last
right.
year. So we've lived that. We've walked to those shoes. Hey, by the way, Alliance, if you ever had any money, you could actually, hire us to do something, even though you're totally flat broke. I get that.
I also asked the Alliance straight up for merchandise around this time last year.
But you were transparent.
Right.
You
I said, we're going to do something on the show for this. Do you have any gear you can send?
And that's when they sent us the hats and we did the signing day
right.
thing.
We said, as part of promotion for the league.
Imagine, okay, so you're going to have a child coming up in a couple of months. I can't believe those words came out of my mouth.
Yes.
But you're going to have a child in a couple of months. Imagine you threw your daughter at the mercy of the Alliance. We're like, hey, I'm having a daughter. She'd love to model hot shots gear I mean, just so that you got a free Hot Shots onesie?
You know what? You know what? I'm raining on Schwartz's parade. You just gave me a great idea. I'm tweeting at this same rep from the XFL, and I said, my daughter is coming right before the start of the season. I would love a great cheerleader's outfit of the New York team. She'd be a great model for your catalog. And I want to see if they start getting flooded, maybe they'll come up with a catalog, or maybe it takes some of the shine away from Schwartz where they go, hold on, now we have multiple opportunities for kids here.
But this just benefits you by getting free stuff.
No, I don't think they'll send me free stuff. It's a block move. They get too many people asking for this. They're not going to be sending the free stuff out like that. I'm going to block them out.
Okay.
I'm doing it. It's a block move.
It's a block move.
And best case, I get the gear he doesn't, really sticks it.
Could you imagine pawning? These are the people that bring their six-year-old to training camp and shoves the kid in front of the player to get the ball signed so that they can take the ball when the kid doesn't even care about it.
And go sell it online.
Yes, and then they go sell it. Yes, this is that play.
The same one that complains when players don't sign. Meanwhile, they just went into the tunnel and they say that they ignored the fans.
Right. How much free stuff could Schwartz possibly gather? I mean, he has at least 200 baseballs from games. He has minimum 50 footballs from games. He has a pair of sneakers from a G League game, I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, the guy...
You know what it's all about, though? He just wants to establish this relationship. He wants the free tickets if he doesn't have the job. He wants the job. This is his way of establishing the relationship. And if I have to put my kids and pretend that I know they'd actually get picked for a catalog that doesn't exist to do so, then that's what he'll do.
He is offering them up for a catalog that doesn't exist! He's offering child labor for a job that's not created!
I still think you're burying the lead. If you have 1 weekend left of summer, 1 week of summer, and your father was home for you during the week, would you, A, want to sit around and have an HDMI cord from a laptop into a TV watching a fake league announce their team? Or would you, B, want to go run through a sprinkler or go to a pool or something like that?
And they're going to turn on him one day. That's coming.
Because they'll realize they were props all along. They're just props for free merch. Daddy, I hate you for making me be a model in the XFL catalog.
That's 2020.
Now, if there ends up being an XFL catalog and those kids are on the front page, don't we owe some sort of apology because
yes,
you figured something
out? Yes, I guess we do. But we don't know if they are willing participants.
If they end up becoming millionaires, like if that spawns an acting career or something like that,
he could
change his kids' lives for the better.
This could be those mini beauty pageant families that send their six-year-old to go do mini beauty pageants, and you know that the kids are just totally screwed up from it.
Little Mr. Sunshine, is that what we're going to do here with the Schwartz family?
When we come back here on the show, should we be worried that Team USA is in for a rude awakening in the FIBA World Cup? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I had a buddy, so I turned him on to the DA show. I told him, get on the mothership. And so he does it for a week, and he comes back, and he says, I've heard Mraz talk a lot, and I just as well blindfolded myself and turned on my 600-pound wide. I tell him, you're missing the bigger picture. We're getting a taste of the greatest love story ever told, which is the big man and his big appetite.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Uh-huh.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Uh-huh.
Chubbo.
Uh-huh.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
Uh-huh.
Puffiness with sodium.
Fat.
Your football food of the week returns week one of the NFL season. Week one of the NFL season, Mraz's football food of the week returns, as does Sunday morning football. So be there. Locked in, Mraz will give his NFL picks every single week and his football food of the week recipes. Sunday morning football returns week one of the NFL season as well, as I'll break down everything in college football from a Saturday and preview the NFL. Sunday morning football returns for season number four. It's going to move 1 hour later, 10 until noon Eastern time, as it'll run up against nationally televised and radio broadcasts of NFL pregame shows, 10 until noon Eastern every week right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, Mel Tucker's going to join us, Colorado Buffalo's head coach. So stick around for that. We'll talk some college football with him. The NBA's okay team, it's not their great team. The NBA's okay team, it's not their all-star team, is representing the U.S., Team USA, in the FIBA World Cup. Now, it's not the Olympics, but we all here in the States expect our men's basketball team to dominate everybody else's men's basketball team. It is a gold or nothing else. That is the only thing that's acceptable. And when we did not win the gold in 2004, I believe it was, all hell broke loose and they had to ultimately totally revamp the system of choosing Team USA. Now, that happened in the Olympics, but still, if you don't win a gold in these international competitions, it is a pathetic international embarrassment. And so there's been some real worries. You had Team USA getting ripped up, apparently, by a G League roster. You've had a bunch of guys that didn't want to play in this, so it's been a very thin roster. And some wondered how they would perform against Spain, a very good international competition. And in the exhibition game last Friday, Team USA won 90-81. Donovan Mitchell leading all scorers on the U.S. team with 13 points. Kemba Walker had 11, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists. Greg Popovich is one of the greatest coaches ever, and that gives me confidence Team USA's going to be, quote-unquote, at its best. But there's one thing that I think Americans should be worried about, if you still care about Team USA dominating international competition. Number one, this is not our best roster we could send. I would say this is, if this is not the A team, it's probably the C team. There's some good players on there, but this is not the best or the second best layer of guys we could play. So it's like our third best group of guys, if that. And international basketball has gotten so much better. Right now, we're still the gold medal favorites. We have the best odds at winning the World Cup. Serbia is in second. Serbia is the second best odds. Well, Serbia has mostly NBA talent on this roster, led by the Joker, Nikola Jokic. So you've got Jokic plus Bogdan Bogdanovic and a number of other guys that play for NBA teams. You know, Serbia has players on its roster that play for the Clippers, the Sixers, the Kings, the Nuggets. They got like seven guys in the NBA. I mean, Greece has Giannis Antetokounmpo on that roster. Spain's got NBA players. These are Canada, NBA players. International competition's gotten better, and this is nowhere close to our best roster. I think you can make the obvious argument, this is the worst roster we have ever sent to international competition. You know, our 2004 roster, which did not end up winning the gold, ended up winning the bronze, I believe, in Athens, was at least mostly our best players. I mean, that team obviously had a lot of talent, but just hated one another. And they just couldn't get it together. But it wasn't because they didn't have talent. That roster had Carmelo Anthony, Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson, LeBron, Dwayne Wade. That had really good, really, really good talent. Those are our best players at their peaks, and it came in bronze. This roster this year, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's really good. He's not one of the five best players in the NBA. He should not be starting on Team USA if we really had our best players. I think we should worry. Now, if it was the Olympics, maybe people would worry more. Maybe it's because it's FIBA World Cup. It's not a big deal. Plus, it's starting during football season, so start September 1. People might not even care. But I think this could be a rude awakening for Team USA. Rude awakening. This is not going to be 30-point blowouts. It's not. You look at me like I'm crazy. It's not going to be.
I don't mean to be rude at all because we talked about this segment, but honestly, who cares? I mean, who cares?
Well, that's...
Are we going to be into this in September, even if the Stars were in it? I don't think so.
Well, let me ask you this. If they get blown out by Serbia by 25 points, is it a story?
I guess. Is it, though? Will we care? Will we come into the pre-show meeting and go, can you believe they lost to Serbia?
I think...
It's a story if the Stars are there and they lost to Serbia.
I think nationally, if we as Team USA get blown out by Serbia or flame out in this thing, people start talking about it. I think they're not talking about it yet because they haven't paid attention to how close we are to being a disaster in this.
Yeah, but the underlying theme of this is it's a disaster. People are dropping out because they're preparing for what should be the best NBA and most important regular season we've had in damn near a decade, because there's actually, I don't know, an unpredictable finish coming where we have no idea who's ending up there.
I agree.
So don't basketball fans care more about that?
Yes, of course. Most people don't
care.
So
why do we care if they lose by 25 to Serbia?
But I think we will. I think we will, because it'll be a national embarrassment. I think if we get
national embarrassment.
Yes, I think people will start freaking out if we look that bad in international competition. I think we just all assume that it won't happen.
No, I think people will freak out if we look that bad and the stars were there. I think the stars not being there, I think nobody will care if we look that bad. It'll be like, well, LeBron's not there. Well, Steph Curry's not there. So, of course, whatever.
Bogus, do you think if we got blown out by Serbia and we ended up as a fourth team in the FIBA World Cup, nobody would care?
Nobody will care, because it's not going to be like soccer where they're not going to get into the Olympics, because I think it's the top seven in this tournament qualify, and it'd be hard for them not to be in the top seven of this tourney. And even if they somehow weren't, then they come back and play like in a tournament just for whatever is like the basketball version of CONCACAF, then they would get in.
That's too confusing for everybody. I just think that when you are Team USA, you're supposed to beat everybody by 30. And if you lose, suddenly that's when everybody freaks out.
Right, but the end game is what would really drop the hammer. I mean, we cared about soccer on the men's side because they didn't make the Olympics. I mean, the World Cup. We wouldn't have cared if they finished lower than we thought they should have in that final group.
Yes, but international soccer is way different here in this country, because we don't have – international soccer is bigger than the MLS. The NBA is bigger than whatever happens with the Olympics.
But I think fans are going to know, even if they get smacked in a game by Serbia, that because 50-some-odd guys have opted out of this team and they'll still be in the Olympics and it will be the best players for that team – people are not – it's going to curb any disappointment you have right now.
Okay, that's fair. So if you think we got it pounded in the Olympics, it has way more of an outcry than if we get pounded in FIBA.
The 2014 that you mentioned changed the entire dynamic
Absolutely.
Of the system.
That's
so
what
yes,
I mean.
I would agree with him on that part. The Olympics are a different ballgame.
Right.
Okay, so if this was the situation in the Olympics and we had a C-level team – and we got beat bad, then it's a story.
And it's a major story. Not only that, the Olympics would be going on in August, less going on in the national spotlight. I think once we've turned a page to college and the NFL, and they're getting their butts kicked by Serbia, nobody's going to care. I really do. But Olympics, that's real pride. We wear pride for the Olympics or the World Cup in soccer.
Right.
We wear pride for the World Baseball Classic. Not really. For FIBA, not really.
Okay. All right. All right, so that's fair. So this basically doesn't matter because it's FIBA.
Right. And I think, by the way, I think the stars would show for the Olympics. I think the stars are showing they don't care about the FIBA World Cup.
Fair. When we come back here on the show, Mel Tucker's going to join us. First-year head coach at Colorado. It's not an easy job, and he seemed to have other options. So why did he choose this? We'll ask him next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome inside the DA show, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. College football just around the corner. As always, a reminder, Sunday morning football returns. Week one of the NFL season. We shift it 10 until noon Eastern time, so it backs right up against your NFL pregame shows. But we'll always break down what happens in college football. And could the Colorado Buffaloes be interesting this year? They've brought in a brand new head coach, a guy that knows the SEC really well, worked under Nick Saban at Alabama, also under Kirby Smart at Georgia. Mel Tucker is taking over the Colorado Buffaloes program. He joins us this morning on the show. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, this has been a job that's had a lot of turnover in recent years, and you were a very qualified candidate. A lot of people out there thought that you'd have a lot of good options whenever you decided to become a head coach at the collegiate level. What are the boxes that check off for you at CU and made you want to take this job?
Well, I always thought that you had to have first tradition and then facilities. If you had those two things, you had a chance. You would have a chance. Here, there's great tradition. This place has won a national championship, which is hard to do, and not many schools can say that. We have good players on the college level, and great players have gone on to play in the NFL. Our facilities are relatively new. I think it's a $160 million facility here. A great indoor facility, great weight room, meeting rooms. Everything's first-class nutrition. Everything's in place from an infrastructure standpoint. And then Rick George, our athletic director, is a football guy. I really hit it off with him. I love him. He was the recruiting coordinator here at Colorado. with Coach McCartney when they won the national championship. So he knows what it takes. He knows what my challenges are. And we had our visions were aligned and what we thought this program could be.
So having coached under a bunch of different coaches, what is the identity you want a Mel Tucker coach team to have?
It's one word, relentless. Relentless has two components. It's high velocity. It's nonstop. First, we want to be a smart football team. Okay, we want to be physical. We want to play fast. You know, we never stop. Okay, so when you look on the field, you see our team play. You want to see those guys are well coached. They never stop. They're relentless. They're physical. That's a team that knows how to play the game of football. That's what our identity is going to be.
Colorado head coach Mel Tucker is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. You're battling Nebraska on the recruiting trail quite a bit. Nebraska and Colorado have had a rivalry going back for many, many years. And a lot of kids that grow up in Colorado end up playing at Nebraska. You'll end up playing them early on your schedule this year at home. Does that make it a more important September game than usual?
Well, the games are big. Every single one. I've never coached in a game that we weren't expected to win at any level, anywhere I've been, whether it's been Michigan State, LSU, Ohio State, Cleveland Browns, Chicago Bears, Jacksonville, Alabama, Georgia. Every time you step on the field, they expect you to win. Okay, but I look at it as a great moment. I look at it as those are great moments and opportunities for us to go out there and show everybody what we're all about. So we embrace those opportunities.
You know, you had a decade coaching in the NFL. You've had a decade and a half of coaching in college football. Why did you decide that college football is where you wanted to be long term?
Well, my intention was never to be in the NFL for 10 years. But around 2012, when I was preparing for the interview with the University of Wisconsin, I began to think about everything that I would have to offer to these young people. I really enjoyed my time in college at LSU and Ohio State and recruiting guys when they were sophomores, juniors, seniors, and then signed them and coached them into the NFL. Those guys graduate. That was very fulfilling for me. Now I have a passion for our young people. I feel like I have just so much that experience to offer these young guys that I want to get back into college level, get back into recruiting, dig back in, and help develop these young men at a very critical stage in their lives.
Colorado head coach Mel Tucker is our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. When you say that, why is this such a critical stage in life for the young men that you're coaching?
Well, I'll tell you what, they got a lot of pressure. You know, you got the social media, you have kids that come from broken homes. You know, there's just a lot going on with these guys nowadays. You can see it all over the news, okay? And so coaching is matters. Is very important at the high school level, but also at the college level. These guys are, you know, in their teens, you know, and they're transitioning into adulthood. And so this is a great time to develop, to make sure that they have good habits, carry over the great habits that they have from their parents and their guardians from high school. They're going to have an opportunity to get a great education and look at and begin to prepare for life after football. You know, football is going to end. You know, at some point, I want these guys to play as long as they can, but it's our job to make sure that when they leave here, they're better off than when they leave.
You know, you have an ability to connect with players and young people via technology. You're comfortable using texting and FaceTime and phones, etc. So are you just naturally technologically savvy, or is that something that you've kind of had to force yourself to learn to be able to connect?
Well, for me, it's I'm a gadget guy. I'm a tech guy. It's kind of like a hobby for me. It's something that I enjoy to do. I like to always have the latest iPhone, the latest iPad, you know, headphones or whatever they are. I really enjoy that. So it makes it easier for me to adapt to whatever the new technology is, whatever the new social media is, and I embrace it. It's not something that's ever going to go away. You know, so we have to figure out, you know, what's the best way to use it. It's delivering information, how to control the message, and those types of things. And so our coaches, we embrace the technology and all that comes with it. We think it's a net positive for us.
You've coached under some great coaches. You won a national championship with Ohio State at Ohio State under Jim Tressel in 2002. You coached under Nick Saban twice, two different times. What's the difference between Nick Saban in 1999 at Michigan State versus what it's like now under him at Alabama?
Not much. Coach Saban hadn't really changed. I mean, the staff meetings, I was sitting in staff meetings in 1997. and they went a certain way. I got to Alabama in 2015, and it was the same thing. The only thing that's different is he's perfected everything. Okay, he's taken his program, his system, you know, his terminology, his schemes on both sides of the ball, how he runs his program as a CEO, and he's just honed it down. It's like clockwork. He's perfected it, and his drive and determination has not fallen off. He's just as relentless, and he's a confrontational, demand excellence. I mean, sense of urgency day in and day out, and he is the hardest working coach on the staff. He was like that in 1997. He's like that now.
So do you hope in 20 years that people are saying the same thing about you, that Mel Tucker is the same today as he was back in 2019?
Yeah, I want people to look at me and say, you know what, he's a good man. You know, he's what you see is what you get. He's going to tell it to you straight. And he's a guy that I trust. I love playing for him. I love working with him or working for him. And he's a guy that was a good role model to our young people. That's what I like people to say.
All right, final question for you, Coach. You graduated from the University of Wisconsin with a degree in agricultural business. That's interesting. What was your fallback plan if coaching didn't work out?
That's a good question. I probably would have got into some type of real estate, some type of day trading or something like that. But, you know, if it wasn't coaching football, I probably would have taken a shot coaching basketball and then maybe on to something else. But I love to stay around the game. I really love athletics. Football's done a lot for me. It's done a lot for my family. A lot of what I have today and what I've become, I owe it to the game of football.
Well, coaching has served you well, and you have served coaching well also. Mel Tucker, head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, entering year number one in Boulder. It is great to catch up with you, Coach, today. Hopefully we'll do it again this season, man. Good luck.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure. Mel Tucker joining us, head coach, Colorado Buffaloes, and he's got work to be done there. I really like this hire by CU. Very well-respected guy. Been around the college game for a long time. Good recruiter. Has coached under really good coaches. And you can just hear his ability to lay out a vision, lay out a plan, and say, okay, this is what we're doing. And I respect that a great deal. But he's got some roads to hoe here, because Colorado is picked last in their division. They're one of the worst teams of the Pac-12. And CU just doesn't have a ton of talent right now. One interesting, unique thing that they're doing, Mel Tucker kind of he really just kind of ripped up what CU's recruiting plan was. And what he is doing is overseeing a completely different dynamic where they're throwing a lot of scholarships out there, way more than they used to get in front of kids and hoping that at least that will build their kind of credibility on the recruiting trail and what type of spotlight and acknowledgement you get from kids and coaches, high school coaches, that they had not had before. But, I mean, here's the deal. You got to start winning. And CU has just been so rarely a winner that it's not a bad state for football. You can get good high school recruits out of Colorado. They just oftentimes don't stay at CU. Boulder's a beautiful place. It's only 40 minutes outside of Denver. It's close. It's easy to get to, relatively speaking. It's gorgeous. But you got to win football games, and that's been a hard thing to do for a long time. We'll see if Tucker can do something that other guys have not been able to do. But in the Pac-12, it's not like there's not opportunity. I mean, McIntyre took advantage of that a couple of years ago. There's opportunity because you don't have these heavyweights anymore. But Colorado's nowhere near what they need to be able to compete even in the Pac-12. I think Oregon's going to be really good this year. I think Herbert's going to be phenomenal. And I like Oregon on that side of the Pac-12. I think Oregon and Washington are kind of 1A, 1B. They're really close to one another. I like Oregon by a little bit. And Utah seems to be kind of the runaway favorite in the South Division. We don't know about USC. I have a lot of questions about whether USC can get it done, and I don't think Arizona State is there, and I don't think UCLA is there yet. The South is interesting maybe in 2 years. Right now, I think it's Utah's division to lose. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. GEICO.com. That north part, though, the north division of the Pac-12 is going to be interesting. I think Utah could win the south easily, but the north, you've got Oregon, Washington, and Stanford. And, you know, you never know about Washington State with Mike Leach. They should take a step back this year. Big turnover in their roster. But for Oregon and Washington and Stanford, they're all pretty close to one another. It's all going to come down to those head-to-head matchups because there's not much differential between the three of those teams. Although, like I said, I like Oregon a little bit more than the other two. When we come back, Daniel Jones gets called out by Baker Mayfield. Daniel Jones responded to said criticism. We'll grade how he responded next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.